Amen. Well, just as an introduction to what we're going to be looking at, Mark chapter 11, here's a video. Now, that was the Queen's coronation many years ago, where a crown was put on her head. And in a few weeks' time, our King, King Charles, is going to have a coronation like that in London. The streets will be lined with people. They'll be singing. There'll be a crown. And that sets the scene for us, as it just gets us a little bit of a feel of what it was like for Jesus when he came, not into London, but into Jerusalem all those years ago. And it's what we celebrate at Palm Sunday. Jesus was actually just a carpenter from nowhere. But he's coming in, as we listen for our reading here, let me invite Marcy up. Jesus is coming in to the city of the King. And the people get really excited. And what I want you to listen out for is what they do. So Marty's going to read. It's page 1015 for the adults here. And children, as you listen, if you hear the word donkey, I'd like you to go, ee-aw, okay, each time you hear. But Marty's going to keep going with the reading. Are we ready to listen? Let's listen.
Hello, morning, everyone. I'm reading out of Mark 11. Is that good? Jesus comes to Jerusalem as king. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a donkey tied there with no one, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you doing this? Say, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back shortly.'" They went and found a donkey outside in the street, tied at the doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that donkey?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the donkey to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12.
Thank you, Marty. There was a lot of noise. There was a lot of noise. And there was a lot of excitement. Now, when we're a little bit excited, so maybe we're given a star at school or at nursery, we give a little smile. So can you give me a little smile? Yes? I can't see your smiles. Give me a little smile. When you're a bit more excited, so for example, it's the holidays, you might go, "Yes!" Can you go, "Yes!" Okay, but when you're really excited, you jump up, don't you? Yeah! Now back, do you know what? Some of the grown-ups here, when they're really excited and they go to a football match, okay, and as somebody scores a winning goal, they all go from here, and they go, "Whoa!" And then they go down. It's called a Mexican wave. But we're going to do a little bit like what they may have done back then, which is called a Jerusalem wave. So I need some of you to line up down this side. Okay, nice long row, and the Minis radar have practiced this before. Okay, And a Jerusalem wave, as the palm branch, crouch down, as the palm branch goes over your head, here's what a Jerusalem wave would have been like. Ready? And then back down. Okay, now let's practice. So a little bit excited. Smile. Okay. You've just got an Easter egg. Little bit more excited. Yes. Okay. Jesus is coming on the king. Whoa. I wonder if the adults can do this. Let's just try, shall we? Okay, so we'll go for this side first. Here we go. Okay, a backwards Jerusalem wave. A backwards Jerusalem wave. What do you think, children? Was that any good? Not bad. Okay, we'll come back to that in a minute. Let's sit down. So they were very, very excited. Very excited. Not just a little bit excited, but very, very excited. As Jesus came along, they threw their jackets off on the floor. They shouted, and they waved branches, and they put it on the floor. And the question we're thinking about from this passage is why? Why? And here's the first reason. Let's have it up on the screen. Here's the first reason. Because Jesus is a king. Now, adults, verse 10, if you have a look down there, it says, "Blessed is the coming of the kingdom of our father David." And just as people are lining the way for the coronation, they were lining the road for King Jesus. Now, I guess there was excitement all around Jerusalem. Little whispers. Have you heard about Jesus? Have you heard that he can heal the sick? Yeah, I mean, my uncle, none of the doctors could help him, but he went to Jesus. Yeah, well, that's nothing. My daughter was dead, and Jesus raised him up. He's stronger than evil spirits. He stilled a storm. And the whispers go all the way around Jerusalem, and people are saying, maybe Jesus is greater than the greatest heroes that we've ever heard of. Maybe he's God's king. And then in this passage, of course, Jesus turns up in Jerusalem and he behaves exactly like that. So we see, number one, that he makes the demands of a king. Have a look at verse 2. He says, go to the village, untie the donkey. And Jesus says, bring it here. Now on TV sometimes, the police stop a car and they say, the car screeches to a halt. And the policeman says, police, I need this car. I've always thought that'd be quite cool to do that. I don't think in Lansing people are going to respond very well if I go, pastor, I need this car. I think I'm going to get run over. But Jesus is saying about the donkey, king, I need that donkey. And it's not stealing for Jesus because he owns the whole world. And the people listen to him. He makes the demands of a king. And then he explains himself in the passage like a king. Okay, so verse 3, he says, if anyone asks you, why are you doing this? Tell them, the Lord needs it, and we'll send it back shortly. I'm king, I'm Lord. That's all the explanation you need for why I'm just taking stuff. Do you see, by the way, no one ever talks that way, do they? No one ever talks. Jesus is not just a kind of good religious guru, like it's so popular to say today. He's saying, I'm Lord. And then Jesus accepts praise like a king. So everyone throws down their coats, a bit like a red carpet. And children, when the queen comes, they put a red carpet down, a bit like this one. And they're all throwing their coats down and they're praising him. And they do the Jerusalem wave. Are you ready for it again? They do the Jerusalem wave. Ooh. Ooh. Okay, and Jesus doesn't say, shh, listen in, guys, listen in. Jesus doesn't say, when they wave all their branches and they praise him, he doesn't say, hang on a second, guys, that's a bit over the top. You know, don't go overboard there. I don't deserve that. He accepts their praise because he's king. And when they shout out to him, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, blessed is the coming kingdom, they're actually quoting bits of the Old Testament where God had promised that he was going to send a king. So do you see, Jesus, here's the final thing, he fulfills God's promises of a king. Hundreds of promises made many years before Jesus, and he is the perfect king who fits them. And that's one reason, if you're a skeptic here today, maybe you're a complete skeptic about this book. It's one reason to take it seriously. So children, who does Jesus think he is? Right, he's a king. Not just any king, by the way. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. King over even Caesar, the emperor. King even over Herod, who thought he was the boss. And he has come to save them. And so that's why, that's the beginning of why they go, whoa. That's the beginning. Okay. Now we thought about the first thing. Okay, why were they so excited? It wasn't because it was the holidays or something. It was because God's forever king had arrived. And that was the first reason. Summer, do you want to go and sit down there? It would really help me. Now, let's have the screen up, because there's one more reason. Children, can you remember, did Jesus, when the queen arrived, what did she come in? Anyone remember what she came in when you saw the video? A carriage. What was the carriage like?
Big,
golden,
red,
amazing,
red and golden.
Wonderful. Now, when Jesus came in, if he's the King of Kings, surely he came in something bigger than that. If he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the King of the universe, didn't he come in something bigger than a golden carriage? What did he come in?
A donkey?
But that's what the Bible says. Now, I need you to sit down, please. I need you to sit down. Okay, and we're going to see the next thing from our passage. Okay, now, that reading right at the beginning of our time from Zechariah told us that God had actually promised long ago this. Just listen in. God had promised that your king would come gentle and riding on a, yeah, well done, Georgia, on a donkey. And that is one of the wonderful things that I just love about Jesus. You know, kings back then used to normally come on a great big war horse, covered in armor, or in a chariot with swords attached to the sides to show their power. And leaders today, of course, normally drive around in great big jeeps that are bulletproof, don't they, with a huge number of people behind them. Jesus came on a donkey. So I was thinking it was a little bit like this. Jesus wanted to show everyone that he'd come for them. He'd come for them. So he's not a king who's going to rush past them or crush them on the way because he's got something more important to do. He's not a king who has come and thinks of himself as more important than everyone else and is ahead and shoulders above everyone. He's come gently as a king on a donkey. So children, I want you to picture Jesus just for a moment to think, what would it have felt like? It would have felt a little bit like, for you, Jesus coming on his hands and knees, on your level. Okay, he's a gentle king. Or for, you know, sometimes on a Sunday we have folk in a wheelchair, don't we? And it's a bit like Jesus turning up and just to show you that he's come on your level. He comes and he's being pushed in on a little wheelchair. A king who's come on our level, humbly, to meet us face to face and to take us by the hand. And I just love that about Jesus. Now, children, I've got a biscuit for you. You've been concentrating really hard. Somebody has put some chocolate ones out. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give the chocolate ones to our guests so we don't have any fights. Okay? And here we go. Chocolate.
Thank you.
Chocolate.
I don't
like it. And chocolate. Okay, there we go. Special chocolate one. Okay, and the rest are for here. Now, children, well done. And if there aren't enough, I'm going to send Tim out on a foraging trip. But I just want to apply this to all of us, because it's an all-age service. And so there's something for the children to learn. And actually, there's something that all of us need to hear as well from the Lord. Let's try and apply this together. What have we seen? Well, I need to remind you that Jesus comes into our lives as a king. You know, the wonderful thing, of course, is that Jesus didn't just come into Jerusalem all those years ago on a donkey, but he promises that he's going to come into our lives as well. And he'll come into any one of our lives. We just want to open the door for him. And it's a wonderful thing. And Jesus actually promises that every time we meet on a Sunday, he's with us. And so we could put a chair out for Jesus, but he doesn't need a chair because he comes by his Spirit, doesn't he? And so Jesus comes to be with us just like he came into the city of Jerusalem. But we need to remember that when he comes as a king. He's not just coming as a life coach for us or an interesting hobby for us or someone to make us feel a little bit better. But he's coming as our king. And that is the only way that Jesus will come into your life. And the only right way to respond to him, therefore, is to get down on our knees and throw our coats down before him and to allow Jesus, as he commands the disciples and he demanded the donkey and he received praise, to have our lives and our praise with nothing at all held back. That is the only right way to respond to Jesus. And I just want to ask each one of us in this room, have we been in that place before Jesus recently? Some of us, if we're honest, have been in church, but we haven't been in that sort of personal place before Jesus, bowed down, laid out everything before him. And we need to do that. When we do, of course, there's great joy, just like there was that day. Now, maybe there's somebody here who has never received Jesus as king. Maybe you didn't realize you had to. But that is how you begin as a Christian believer. Just as Jesus, can you imagine if you're on the high street and you see Jesus on a donkey plodding slowly towards us? Slowly, actually, on a donkey. A bit of time to think your way through it. But you see other people and they're responding in different ways. And you're thinking, do I pick up a palm branch and start praising him? Or am I just a very practical person? I say, well, I'm just going to get on with my life. Or do I secretly start to plot to kill him? But either way, you've got to respond because the king is coming. And maybe some of us have found actually that sense of Jesus slowly plodding towards you, coming up close and personal. He was a nice idea when he was far off, but now he's marching on the city of our lives and we need to make a decision. Well, I'd love to call you to make a decision today, because today is the day when God isn't just speaking to the children, but Jesus wants to be king over you. Now, if we feel a resistance here, now I'm not going to give over. It's my life. I'll live it for me and not anyone else. Well, you need to know that we all have that resistance in us. Every morning that I wake up, sin has put the crown on my head. And so what I need to do is remember every day, and I take it this is something we all need to remember, Jesus is the rightful king. He is our rightful king. And he's a king who will judge us one day. So in the passage just after this one, Jesus curses the fig tree. And it's a picture of judgment. But here's the crucial thing from our passage today. He is a good and gentle king. He is a good and gentle king. You see, in the Bible, kings were there at their best to fight the battles that were too big to fight for the normal people, like David stepping up and taking on Goliath. And kings were there to provide for the people during hard times out of their own resources, from their own table. King David used to have 2,000 people for dinner. And kings were there to lead the people in the blessed life of following God. And people like the Queen of Sheba would turn up and say, "How happy your people must be to have a king like you," to Solomon. Because the truth is, we cannot lead ourselves. Now, that's the lie that our society gives us all the time. You need to be a captain of your own soul, the master of your own fate, your own king. Don't let anyone else rule you. And we all need to realize we can't do that. But Jesus is the sort of king we need. He might be fed up of politicians or other leaders, but Jesus is not like them. You might struggle to trust other people. They've always let you down in life. But Jesus is so different. Here he is on a donkey. You might be a very sensitive sort of person or a very fearful sort of person. And you need that picture of Jesus coming gently on a donkey. And that's the way he always treats us. Because as we head into Easter time and we mark it next weekend, we remember that Jesus didn't just humble himself to ride on a donkey, though he's the king of the universe, isn't he? And there he is, he's on a donkey. But he humbled himself lower to a cross, and it's lovely to have a cross being waved for us. He so loved us that our king was crowned not with gold, but with thorns, was raised not onto a throne, but onto a wooden cross. And he gave his life to save us. And so I find myself thinking, Jesus, I may struggle to trust other people. I may have that resistance in my heart to follow you. I want to be in control. But frankly, there's no one like you to rule my life. He's a king on a donkey. We're going to sing to close.